Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al on this cold day here in northeastern Ohio. I got down to -8 at my house. I always qualify that. I do live in a little valley, but still, -8 was cold. And it was 4 degrees when I got into my car to head up here to the studio today. And it was 7 when I got out of my car to come into the studio. So that's just plain cold. I hope you're staying warm wherever you might be here, and welcome to the program today. I'm Pastor Al Davis, host of the program and pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and you can give us a call here this afternoon with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And a couple other things we're going to talk about a little bit here as well today, but let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to be on the air. Yeah, I just pray for those who have to be out in the weather today. Keep them safe. Watch over them, Lord. And we just pray that you would just bless, use the program today for your glory. Help us be an encouragement to people and point people to Christ. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you today. Hope you had a good New Year's Day, and I hope you had a safe New Year's Day, and I hope you're staying safe and warm during this cold. I mean, they've had a number of people who across the country where this cold has settled in. They've had some people that have actually died as a result of it on the news last night. They're talking about some guy down in Akron, I guess, who froze to death on his porch, and I was thinking of my father's cousin. Back some years ago when he was alive, he had fallen during a cold stretch, and he had gone out to put some feed in his bird feeder, and he had fallen on the snow, and he couldn't get up, and he was elderly at the time, and his next-door neighbor thought he saw something laying out behind his house, and he went over and checked and rescued him. Had God not brought him over, he would have been a casualty that time. But so it's dangerous. If you have to be out, bundle up, and I'm always amazed at seeing people who go out, with a coat open up, and if they have a coat, no hat, no gloves, nothing, and complain about being cold. Bundle up when you get out there, layers, that's the trick. In fact, if you're watching on Facebook Live, you can see I got layers on myself right now, and that's what helps. In fact, it's getting a little warm because I had a sweater on top of my shirt here, but I'm just going to mention a couple of things here as we get into the program here this afternoon. Reminder, check us out online at our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can find out more information about the program. You can listen to past programs. You can listen to our Friday programs there. You can listen to our Sunday night programs. We're on every Sunday night. In addition to our Friday afternoon program here, we're on every Sunday night for an hour at 11 o'clock till midnight. And I know it's a little late for a lot of people to stay up, but you can still listen to them online at our website, livewithpastoral.com. And you can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And you can follow us on Facebook there, and see our programs on there. We do a Facebook Live broadcast on that as well. So I encourage you to check that out as well. Also, wanted to mention, too, that there's links to our home church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, around the pastor. You can find out information about that both at our website, livewithpastoral.com, and our Facebook page, facebook.com/livewithpastoral. Live with Pastor Al. Also want to mention that as well, because on Friday night, we have a Friday night Bible study. It's an informal Bible study. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, Ohio. It's northern Summit County, midway between Akron and Cleveland, right off from Interstate 77, where 77 and the Ohio Turnpike cross is right where we're located. They're just on the north side of the Turnpike and the east side of 77, and you can look out the meeting room that we meet in, and you can see the booths for the Turnpike. That's how close we are. So we'd love to have you visit if you're looking for some place where you can study the Bible, and you can bring your questions. It's informal. We have refreshments, and we have just whatever topics come up. I think it was a week or two ago we had an interesting progression. We started with what sorcery is defined as in the Bible, and we wound up talking about rabbits and things like that. So at any rate, we can go just about anywhere sometimes on our Friday night Bible study. And then, of course, our regular services of the Bible Baptist Church. Also, we meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. We meet there every Sunday morning. We have our morning service at 11 o'clock, and I'm currently preaching through the book of Romans. We're in Romans chapter 16 right now, and just finishing up the book of Romans here pretty shortly. And then on Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, I'm currently preaching through the book of Psalms, and I believe we're going to be on Psalm 133, I believe, this Sunday night. So it's been an adventure going through the book of Psalms. We've been in it quite a while. I mean, there's a lot of Psalms, and we're still not done. And when we hit Psalm 119, we took each stanza. It's the longest chapter, if you want to call each psalm a chapter. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. There's 22 stanzas, I believe, to it. And so we did each one individually. So that took up quite a few months just going through that. But it's been a blessing going through the book of Psalms, I believe, in preaching the whole counsel of the Word of God. And I found a long time ago that preaching through portions of the Bible and actually books of the Bible assures that I touch on everything in the Bible, because, you know, what happens a lot of times, and I have nothing against topical preaching. In fact, I do that myself sometimes on occasion. And in fact, I did that on Christmas Eve at our church, the Sunday morning of Christmas Eve. And I do on occasion, and we do a lot of that here on the radio program. But I know from past experience what usually happens with topical preaching is a lot of times you'll get on to two, three hobby or favorite subjects that become hobby horses, and those are the ones you ride most of the time. And so by going through books of the Bible, I enjoy it because, one, it helps us keep things in context, and that's, you know, something that you have to be careful with the Bible. You know, I heard it said that a verse taken out of context becomes a pretext. And so we need to keep things in context. Context often is the key to understanding difficult passages of Scripture. And so many people go awry when they pull a Scripture out from somewhere and they don't keep the context together with it. And they just go off on some tangent there. And in fact, a number of various false Christian teachings and cults and things like that have gotten their start by people specializing in taking passages out of context. So you always got to try and look what's around, see what's around the verse when you look at it, and try to put things in context. So keeping or preaching through books of the Bible, one, helps you keep things in context. The other thing that it helps to do is it helps me to go through the whole counsel of God, because, for instance, in Romans chapter 16, the first several verses that I was preaching on last Sunday is not a section that I would normally have chosen to preach on. In fact, when I was getting into it in our service, I asked how many people had ever heard a message on Romans chapter 16, verses 1 through I believe it comes down to verse number 16. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but basically it starts out like this. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Caesarea, our Caesarea, that you receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been the succor of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who are also in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. And it goes on like that. And I said, how many people ever heard any message preached on that? Nobody had. I said, well, I heard one message preached on that one time, long time ago. I heard somebody, he was a preacher from India. He had been a Hindu, and he encountered the gospel, and he realized that Jesus Christ was not just a God, but he was the God, God manifest in the flesh, and he became a born-again Christian, and he was not only had pastored a Baptist church, but was teaching in a Baptist theological college in India, and he is visiting the church I was at the time, and he actually preached on that, and it was really a very good message. My message, I don't know, was as good as his, but I preached to that, and I said, well, that's now the second time I've heard a message preached on that passage in my life. And so what I'm saying is going through books causes me to have to go through portions that I normally would have avoided. I would not have chosen, a portion that says, salute Urbania, our helper in Christ, and Stachanes, my beloved, salute Epaphroditus. I probably wouldn't have chosen that as a passage for a message, normally speaking. But going through books, you have to go through things, portions that you may have ignored other times. So, if you enjoy hearing the Word of God, let me invite you to come out and visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. If you've got your own church, though, I'm not trying to take people out of their church, but if you're looking for a church that preaches the Word of God, a church that believes the Word of God, a church that upholds the Word of God, we preach through the Bible, the King James Version of the Bible, and we have our reasons for using that one exclusively, and part of that, of course, comes from the fact that it, amongst the version that you're going to find available to purchase here today, it's the only one that comes from the Antiochian textual family, which goes back to, of course, Antioch, where they were first called Christians at Antioch. The other versions that you see commonly available, the New International Version, the English Standard Version, New American Standard Version, are all in the Alexandrian family. They go back to Alexandria, Egypt, and to the school of Origen and others, where they questioned the Word of God. Many of them did not believe that Jesus was God in the flesh. They did not believe in the virgin birth, the vicarious death of Christ, and many things that they just simply did not accept. And so they altered some of their manuscripts. That's why you'll find such differences between the King James and so many of these other versions that are out there competing for attention today. So we stick with the King James. The Antiochian text comes down to us through the Hebrew Masoretic text in the Old Testament and the what we call the Received text or the Textus Receptus in the New Testament. And so I won't spend my time talking about that right now, but just wanted to make that clear. All right. Well, a couple other things I want to mention too. And of course, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call today, 888-677-9673. We are available, and we enjoy getting your phone calls with those sorts of things. But something I wanted to touch on here today that I thought was important. I had two things I want to mention. I was kind of competing which ones I want to talk about, and I'll mention the first one. I think I might talk about this Sunday night a little more detail. the situation in Iran, if you've been following some of this, it's not making it much in the mainstream news. One of the reasons is the Iranian government has really cracked down on the media in Iran and the internet service, social media, things like that, and journalists. There is an uprising going on in Iran right now. I actually just heard the latest thing is that one of the army commanders, I think, was trying to say that it's over, it's winding down, it's dying out. But we have an uprising of people around the country, common people who have been saying basically that they want to overthrow the mullahs and the Iranian theocracy that they're suffering under there, that brutal regime. And it's been spreading over the past couple of weeks and kind of under the radar from Western media. And I just heard, too, coming into this the station that some of the Revolutionary Guard members, which is usually considered some of the elite military operated under the authority of the Ayatollah himself, I believe, have been taking off their uniforms and burning their identification cards. So we don't know what's going to happen there. A lot of people are optimistic, hoping that there'll be an uprising and throw off the Islamic theocracy, the rule of the mullahs, and hopefully return Iran back into a country that is more favorable to the United States and the West. You have to remember that prior to the Iranian Revolution, 1979, Iran was very favorable to the United States. And in fact, I had a professor at Colorado State University, one of my professors. He went to Iran on a number of occasions, structuring some coursework in environmental and biology, wildlife biology, with some of the universities in Iran. And I remember him telling us that this is in the early 80s, shortly after the Iranian Revolution, it's about 1979. And he would say, "Yes, I used to go there when Iran was fun, and it was," and it might add, "when it was safe." In fact, there was a professor from Colorado State that was one of the hostages that was held there for quite some time. So pray about, watch the situation that's going on there. I'm not as optimistic as some people that I've heard on the air. I'm a little more concerned that this might result in a backlash from the mullahs and the government officials that will clamp down even tighter and harder on the Iranian people, and quite possibly use this as an excuse to launch perhaps an attack against Saudi Arabia and Israel, and perhaps blaming them for some of the unrest. But we'll monitor that situation, hopefully talk about a little bit more on Sunday evening at our 11 o'clock program, Sunday night, I should say. Other thing I wanted to mention, and this is something that has celebrate here. Our governor signed a bill into law. This happened just before Christmas. I haven't really had a chance to mention it, but I want to mention it in conjunction with another thing that's occurring here in northeastern Ohio, in the Cleveland area in particular. But Governor Kasich signed a bill into law banning abortions based on a prenatal diagnosis of Down syndrome. And this basically says that any doctor performing an abortion based on that diagnosis will lose his medical license and face up to 18 months in prison. No punishment for the women, but this means Ohio's joining three other states that have tried to pass similar laws. It's been controversial. Some Republicans have voted against it. But the pro-life activists and groups have celebrated it. President of the Susan B. Anthony List, Marjorie Dannenfelser, she said, "Research has shown that individuals with Down syndrome are among the happiest people in the world and bring tremendous joy to their families. But tragically, mixed messages from society and many in the medical community target them for abortion at alarming rates. In some Western nations, these vulnerable children, she continued, are even on the verge of being eliminated from society through selective abortion, and this is considered progress. Now, NARAL, of course, certainly not happy with this, said, "This law shames women, will have a chilling effect on conversations between doctors and patients, and does nothing to support actual families taking care of loved ones with Down syndrome. Instead, it exploits them as a part of a larger strategy to systematically make abortion illegal." Now, obviously, when we look at this, there are people weighing in on both sides of this. But this is an important law because, you know, they're talking about how in some parts of the world that Down syndrome is being eradicated, and Down syndrome is, you know, there's lower incidences of it. Denmark, for instance, has a very low number of babies born with Down syndrome, and this is touted in Iceland as well. This is touted because they're making progress, eliminating Down syndrome. The fact of the matter is, what they're doing is they're killing the babies that are tested that indicate that they have Down syndrome. In fact, in Denmark, they've estimated they aborted 98% of the babies with that are suspected to have Down syndrome. Iceland is very similar number. In fact, I believe Iceland is almost Down syndrome free in the sense that there's hardly anybody left in the country because they've aborted them. Now, problem with this is you're using a reason that I don't think is an acceptable reason to end human life. And it's obviously true that the unborn child is alive. Otherwise, abortion would not even be under consideration because abortion is a method of ending a life. The very fact that it's called abortion means that you're ending a life. The unborn child is quite alive. And the unborn child has a pain sensation and according to the Bible even has emotion, and we can see this borne out in science as well. It says in Luke, we were studying just thinking about Christmas here just recently, in Luke chapter 1, when Mary arrived to see her cousin Elizabeth, Elizabeth said this in Luke 1:44, "For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." And this is substantiated by medical science. Babies in the womb recognize the voice of their mother, recognize the voice of their father. There's also been some studies that have indicated that playing classical music, for instance, helps soothe babies in the womb. And so we've seen them evidence personality, evidence emotion, evidence sensations of pain and different things. And so as a consequence, these are human beings. They're living beings. Even when they've not yet formed all of their limbs and everything, they're still, according to the Word of God, fearfully and wonderfully made when as yet they're just the very beginning stages, just an earlier form of life, no different than when somebody is at a later stage of life. You know, we have life, and there's only certain conditions whereby that life should be taken away. And so we need to be careful in that. Well, running out of time quickly here in the program, and I wanted to mention the next thing here. There's this campaign going in Ohio right now in the Cleveland area called My Abortion, My Life. And maybe some of you have seen these billboards. I think there's about 16 or so that are popped up around Northeast Ohio, maybe a little more or something like that, or they're going up, they've been changing. But basically the format of the billboard is abortion is, and then they got blank line, and each billboard fills this line in with something different, some things along the lines my abortion is a parenting decision. My abortion is a family value. My abortion is right for me. My abortion is sacred. My abortion is healthcare. My abortion is a blessing. And they're going on with this. No. I think Franklin Graham was addressing this, and he said they should put it this way: my abortion is murder. And that's what it is. It's the ending of a human life, and usually for the convenience of somebody, not because that unborn child has done something deserving of having their life in. In fact, there's a description in the Bible, and I know we're running out of time here, in Exodus 21:22, if men strive and hurt a woman with child, so their fruit depart from her, and it goes on to say in verse 21, and mischief follow, thou shalt give life for life. Mischief meaning the child dies. It was recognized as a murder, as a killing of a child. Well, pray for our community. Pray for the unborn children. I want to thank you for listening. Hope you have a blessed 2018. Join us next time. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight, and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.